Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Live from the John L. Santikos studio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Going to the old Institute of Texan Cultures at Hemisphere Park and being able to look at all the wonderful artifacts about the state's history, well, that's no longer a thing. The museum was shuttered on May 31st. And the building that was first constructed for Hemisphere in 1968 is now set to be bulldozed sometime next summer. The scuttlebutt is that's where the new Spurs Arena will go, but that has not been announced. So officially, we don't know why UTSA wants to knock down that historic building that so many of us have fond memories of and could be repurposed into something else totally fantastic. Later, we're going to get to more about these cities, the city's secret plans called Project Marvel for part of that downtown. We're going to get into that a little bit later on, but right now, we're going to be talking about the ITC building. Could it be saved? What could it be used for? Why do they want to knock it down? To help us answer that question, we're joined by Lewis Vetter. He is the president of the San Antonio Conservation Society. And Lewis, welcome to The Source.
Well, thank you very much, David, for having me here. I appreciate the opportunity.
Our phone number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. You can send us an email to thesource@tpr.org. So what do we know about what the future is for the ITC building, Lewis?
Well, it's pretty unclear, frankly. What we do know is that UTSA wants to bulldoze it next summer. And what we do have is an opportunity to look for the use of the ITC building, the Texas Pavilion. That's why it was built so long ago for Hemisphere. But what we're trying to do is get a good understanding and see what remarkable things we can still do with that building instead of tearing down to start over.
So there's a lot of secrecy surrounding everything that's going on right now. There has been no announced plan for the Spurs to leave the where they play now on the east side and move back downtown. There's been a lot of hot air about this is what we want, but nothing firm. So, you know, what is UTSA's role in all of that? And so UTSA owns the property, or what's going on?
UTSA does own the property. The city of San Antonio gave it to UTSA. Initially, it used to be their campus. Well, they ended up moving one on the northwest side of San Antonio on a 6-acre track. So they've put the Institute of Texan Cultures, which is what we started with UTSA, being responsible for, and they've nurtured it well. They've also are charged with the care of that building. And so, again, trying to make sure it stays in good place. But at this point, we don't know exactly what the city's plans are. We, as the Conservation Society of San Antonio, have talked with the city, and also with UTSA, trying to understand what's going on.
So what is the historic importance of that building?
Well, the historic importance is several points. Well, first, it was designed by CRS and Willie Pena. He's one of the few Mexican-American architects that have a standing structure such as this, as, you know, creative kind of design. And so there's the heritage there, and he's been a well-renowned design architect. And it also pays homage back to its source. A lot of the programming that Willie Pena did goes back to Mexico, to the monuments there and the culture that this brings, and recording and capturing that. So you look at it, it's basically, it looks like an inverted pyramid, a monument. And that is what was part of that design intent.
Yes, Hemisphere, was the confluence of cultures was the tagline for Hemisphere 68. And this was a physical building that was supposed to embody that idea. Mm-hmm. But we've heard from UTSA and others that it's a terrible building. That it leaks, that wasn't really made well. It might have been good, 57 years ago, 50, 60 years ago, but now, not so much.
Well, there's two takes on that one. First of all, they were responsible to maintain that building. And so it's kind of like, you know, back on you of, you know, why is it having those problems? Secondly, people talk about its future, how much it would cost to repair this. Well, it's been estimated, I think even their own numbers, about $7 million to address the issues that exist in that building. Well, contrast that to the $15 million it would cost them to tear it down. So, you know, there's $7 million by, you can continue to enhance that, make programs, find tenants that are really going to be able to celebrate what that building does and to bring in the citizens of Texas.
Seeing how there has not been an announced plan to put the Spurs' new arena there, what is UTSA saying is the motivator for them leaving that site?
Well, they haven't said a lot, first of all. It comes down to the fact that leaving that site, by clearing off that site, it will present the broadest range of options as to how it might be utilized. But back in 2016, they had an RFP to find out what might be used of that building in its future. Well, prior to getting things submitted, they canceled that. They've had their own committee meetings and evaluations, but they have never yet had a public forum to collect input, to drive what we're trying to accomplish. And so that's a lot of what goes on. We don't know what's going on. All we do know is there's a lot of meetings that go along with the city of San Antonio, UTSA, and a lot of other potential developers.
Let's go to a caller. Brad is on the line. And Brad, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Well, several questions. Is there asbestos in the building? And is that going to complicate matters? The sale of the building, is that going to be used to fund any scholarships or anything like that to help the average student at UTSA? I understand it's mainly a commuter college. And then the last question of these three, the artifacts and things that they're in the ITC, is there any likelihood that those could just be sent on up the road to the Bob Bullock Museum in Austin? Because I don't know if you've ever been there, but I've been very impressed by that place, touring it and seeing it, you know, pardon the phrase, it's fair and balanced in terms of what it presents about the warts and all of Texas history. And I'm going to have to hang up and just listen to you address these three questions while I'm driving into a military checkpoint. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Well, Brad, thank you for the call and those questions. So the artifacts right now, UTSA has a plan to continue the mission of the Institute of Texan Cultures, just not at that site. They are temporarily planning to open up a facility at the Frost Tower at Houston Street, and they're going to put it there for a while. That's supposed to open up next year. And then eventually, and this is still up in the air, there's been reportage that UTSA will construct a brand new building and facility on the backside of the Alamo where the Crockett Hotel is. So the artifacts will stay in San Antonio. The photography collection and all the documents, and it's so rich and so dense with everything that they have there. And that will continue to be here and be maintained and made it payable. So we're really just talking about the fate of the building. And because the building itself, you could say, is the ultimate artifact about the story of Texas, of Hemisphere, and of San Antonio. It's right there. What's going to happen to that? What's moving forward? And when we come back, we'll talk to you. We'll answer the rest of your other questions, Brad. We got to get to this break, and our phone lines are open. 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK, and we'll be right back.
Support for TPR comes from Jingu House in the Japanese Tea Garden, featuring Asian cuisine with a San Antonio twist. Open for lunch 7 days a week. View the menu at jinguhousesatx.com.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the future of the building, the Institute of Texan Cultures. It's now been shuttered. It is no longer open to the public. There is an effort by the San Antonio Conservation Society to slow the roll by UTSA to prevent its demolition and to have a public dialogue about what to do with this important historic building in downtown San Antonio. because the public has not really been part of this entire conversation. And it, just sort of get to these questions that Brad had a second ago. I'm with Louis Vetter with me, the president of the San Antonio Conservation Society. So asbestos, do we know anything about asbestos, if it's a problem?
Well, I understand that there is asbestos in the building, which is really not surprising from how old it was.
Yes, but, you know, buildings have asbestos. It's not an obstacle kind of a thing. And he also asked about will proceeds be used for things like scholarships?
Well, that's really going to be the decision of UTSA in terms of how they manage the flow of that funds. There's not a requirement or not something that the preservation of that building is going to drive one way or the other. But I always like to see better opportunities for students to attend.
Sure, and UTSA is building all sorts of things downtown right now. We can look out the window from the studio. We see them building in a new building, and they've got another one. They're definitely having a real estate development revanche in downtown. Let's go to another caller, Maria. And Maria, you're on the air.
Hi, Dave. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to share my experience over the decades. And I visited the Institute of Texan Culture with my school. And I kept going over there countless times over the decades, trying to find a reflection of myself and my family and my ancestors. And unfortunately, I never saw myself or any of our Latino, Hispanic, Indigenous culture reflected at the Institute. So I've ended up having to teach myself and my own child and my own grandchildren our own history.
All right, Maria, thank you for the call. So that goes to the mission of the Institute of Texan Cultures. It's right there in the name. For a long time, it was about looking all the different cultures that settled in Texas, including especially Mexican culture. I mean, there were exhibits and special exhibits dedicated to that. And that's not going to go away. I mean, any reaction to that, Louis?
Well, it's certainly not going to go away because the Institute of Texas Cultures is half of the story here. But it's going to be preserved. They're going to go to their temporary location and then it ultimately settles someplace downtown to bring all that back. But even the building itself, for how much this helps you, Maria, the fact that it really is a confluence of all the different cultures and such. You know, when you look at it in the water flows, there's like 54 different water flows that come into one large fountain. And that's the representation of what this building represents.
So what is your vision? Does the Conservation Society have ideas for what to do with the building? If not knock it down, then what?
Well, then what we can do is really look for its reuse. There's opportunities for developers. The whole idea is you don't have to solve this whole problem at once. It's 186,000 square feet. But we can, as pieces at a time, get the city, get outside vendors, outside developers, to begin to bring in restaurants, shops, different opportunities, potentially museums, if you will, to make use of this space. And then as we develop that experience and its successes, celebrate that by expanding further and further into that footprint.
So that gets into what we're going to be talking in just a few minutes. We're going to be talking about this Project Marvel that the city of San Antonio has for the development of that southeast corner of downtown. And it sounds like, Louis, that you're saying that you can do Project Marvel, as little as we know about it, without the demolition of the building of the Institute of Texan Culture. You could actually use that as, I mean, it basically sounds like you're saying turn it into a mall. It sounds like what you're saying.
Well, you could, and that would be an excellent space. It could be a large department store. It could be in the Spurs' next location for what they might be needing for additional sports capabilities.
And, I mean, could you play ball in that thing?
Yes,
you could.
Probably not football.
But could you play basketball, round ball?
I believe so, yes. It's got high enough ceiling, you know. So why shut that one down?
Okay, that sounds like something that would require, I don't know if the Spurs organization would go along with that. I mean, they, you know, they, there's certain requirements for an arena. I mean, I don't let's be real. I don't think there's a way to turn the ITC building into a workable arena.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, the footprint of the ITC is slightly larger than the Frost Arena. But as the surrounding spaces around it to help support it, you know, access to the parking and such, lends that to be a difficult fit there. But there's a lot of things that the Spurs could probably make use of that in terms of experiences for their fans, for the city. That could be a piece of that mall, if you would. And all the other things Project Marvel is, which I don't know what it is, you know, it's sort of a hypothetical. But in reality, we have a building right now that works and is savable.
All right, let's go to another caller, Samir. Samir, what, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you, David. Thank you for this discussion. So I'm a longtime San Antonio resident, and back in the my high school days in the early 90s. So I'm Pakistani-American, and my family helped start the Pakistani Cultural Association here in the very early 90s. During the Asian Festival years, we used to have a booth there for, 15 years. And in high school and stuff, we used to do cultural dances and everything inside. So I definitely have a connection to it, even though, you know, I'm not a native-born Texan. And I do have a lot of fondness and those memory of those years during the Asian Festival that was there every year, I think in February. And but also, even back 20 years ago, 30 years ago, I was like, man, this is an old building. So I'm wondering, everyone's talking about potential different. I'm wondering, A, who's going to pay to, if it does get demolished and rebuilt, who's paying for that? Is it only UTSA? And also, what are the future use cases for that space? Is anyone talking about what it could be used for the next 50 years?
All right, Samir, thank you for that. Brings up some good points. So, Louis Vetter, when I asked you, like, what's the vision? And then I've, you know, from what I've read about you in the Express News, your column that you wrote, you're basically saying, well, let the public decide.
Yes.
Include the public, include people like Samir, who and let everyone else say, this is a community space. It has served the community for over half a century. People should have some sort of role in deciding what goes forward.
That's right. Public hearings will help a lot shape what we're going to do with that building and what the opportunities are for that building. And really, we've only had, you know, closed doors, behind, you know, door sessions and such as that. So drawing that out, bringing in the citizens, will lead to a whole lot of opportunities.
The Conservation Society had a petition drive to get people to sign up to save the building. How did that go?
It's still going. We've got over 1,650 signatures, and it continues to grow. And the whole purpose of this petition is to share with UTSA, to share with the city, even with the state, the fact that there are that many citizens concerned of what we do, and so we can still continue to add to that.
And the there was an annual list of Texas' most endangered places, and the building, Institute of Texan Cultures, made that list. What does that tell you?
It identifies for the fact that it's in grave danger, based upon the plans that have been discussed by UTSA, the fact that the time is getting very short for us to take action and to get the engagement and to slow down this process. You know, Preservation Texas has identified and talked a great deal. It's on their top four that they're looking at sometimes.
So in your op-ed that you wrote for the Express News, you said that UTSA has this plan to demolish the building, the ITC building, to monetize the site. What do you mean by that?
By demolishing the site and clearing it, it gives them the greatest range of opportunities to engage with other developers and without having any burden about what its use might be. Of course, I don't think that necessarily...
I mean, does UTSA need to monetize anything? I mean, they seem to be pretty flush.
Well, certainly by the amount of building you see going on in San Antonio, but for heaven's sake, they already have a building, but they don't want to use it. Kind of begs the question.
So, and you say, before destroying an irreplaceable landmark for a speculative venture, so an irreplaceable landmark. So the thing is, once it's gone, it's gone.
It's gone. There's no getting that one back. And again, it's for this hypothetical that we don't know anything about enough to make a decision like that would be a reasonable process.
And San Antonio has seen the tangible benefits of hanging on to its irreplaceable landmarks.
That's right.
And seeing the long-term benefits and proceeds and what it means. So do you think that if they're able to somehow save the building, ITC building, that in the future it will continue to be a draw? It will be an attraction for the city?
We really believe that's true, and that will, because the southeast corner of San Antonio is anchored here. And the city can have great opportunity to continue to drive interest, people, visitors, festivals. All of this still exists. I mean, the Folk Life Festival used to be there. It was phenomenal, and people enjoy that a great deal. So it just is that simplest examples.
Let's go to Jim on the phones. And Jim, you're on the air.
Hi. Yes, my comment was that, you know, I think for here, you know, I'm willing to defer to, you know, our leaders in the community. I think we elect them for a reason. And, you know, considering that, you know, this is a building, I don't think it's on par culturally compared to preservation in relative to the Alamo and the missions and other monuments dedicated to our civil leaders and labor leaders. So why I'm willing to defer to them versus go through public comment. Also, Mark, honestly, I think it was a little rude to the previous caller when you dismissed her concerns for feeling represented when she felt she was not represented by the institution, and you said that she in fact was.
Well, it was. But, you know, I'm sorry she felt that way, but, you know, there were efforts that were made. But yeah, Jim, thank you for the call. So to the point that well, these are not elected officials who are making these decisions right now. And there was a time when people thought that the Alamo and the missions should be knocked down as well.
That's right.
And there were people that stood up and said, we need to save these buildings for future generations of Texans.
And had it not been for them to have that foresight and actually to take that physical challenge in some cases, we wouldn't have the Long Barrack. We wouldn't have the Alamo. We wouldn't have a lot of things. I mean, the historic Bluebonnet Hotel was torn down for the probability of having some new development. And what we ended up with was a parking lot. And we face that same opportunity today. So the whole idea, let's get some public input. Let's slow down. Let's make this a decision for the city, because the city is the one that is involved in it, as well as going to make use of it.
So do you recognize this is a David and Goliath story, that, and you're playing David?
Conservation Society has been in that role a lot of times, and is always for a good cause. And we often were able to get the city to marshal around us and its citizens to do so.
Like you save the Riverwalk.
That's absolutely. I mean, we've got the Riverwalk because we have so many different structures around San Antonio. It's amazing.
But you're going up against the Spurs. I mean, the Spurs, you know, they're kind of in the shadows on this. We're going to talk about that more in the second half hour. But, you know, that's the way things work, you know. So evidently, there's, you know, you're fighting against the tide here.
Doesn't mean the Spurs can't be part of this solution inside of that building.
And you want the public on board, or how do you see that?
What I see going next is to have public hearings, not private ones, not little committees that do an evaluation, but to have a series of public meetings to hear what the requirements and needs are.
So public voice, public input.
That's right.
Louis Vetter, president of the San Antonio Conservation Society, thanks for coming on board, talking about that. When we come back, we'll continue talking about that southeast corner of downtown. What is Project Marvel? What do we know about it? This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking more about that southeast corner of downtown where the Institute of Texan Cultures now sits, although not used. It's been closed down. But for many years, the city of San Antonio has been eyeballing that part of downtown, coming up with ideas for redevelopment there. thinking that they can come up with some sort of incredible use for that. And now we have learned from reporting from the San Antonio Express News that they have come up with a vision called Project Marvel. It's a multi-billion dollar idea that would turn that part of downtown into this spectacular entertainment area, a draw that would include possibly the, and we're going to use the word possibly a lot because, you know, the city has not made any announcements. They have not come out and told us what it is they're working on. There's a lot of non-disclosure agreements have been signed. A lot of the players have got to keep things under their hats. And I understand that to a point because when you're talking real estate and plans, you know, you have to kind of do a lot of juggling and keep things up in the air. But also we're talking about public dollars and public space and the city's future, and therefore there should be a way to be more transparent and communicate with the public on this. But they have a Project Marvel. We don't know what that means. We don't know where that name came from. It probably is, you know, just a nice name that they came for us. It's nice and shiny. But the person who's been on top of this quite a bit is Madison Isler. She is the she covers real estate and economic development and other business topics for the San Antonio Express News. And Madison, welcome back to The Source. It's good to have you.
Thank you for having me.
So what can you tell us about what you have uncovered about Project Marvel?
What we know about Project Marvel has largely been gleaned through open records requests that myself and my colleague Molly Smith have filed. Our understanding of what it would entail is renovations to the Alamo Dome, upgrades, which the city has talked about, expansion of the convention center, and potentially a new Spurs Arena downtown that would be surrounded by a mixed-use development with potentially housing, office space, restaurants, and other components. But a lot of it at this point is still fuzzy. The cost is maybe the biggest question at this point. Assistant City Manager Lori Houston said in one of the emails that we got about a year ago that this sports and entertainment district, Project Marvel, could cost $3 billion to $4 billion. But construction costs have risen since then. Interest rates are higher. So we don't have a more current estimate.
If you've got a question or comment about the City of San Antonio's proposed Project Marvel, give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. So, Madison, is there anything that we can compare this to? Like other cities have something like this that helped me visualize what's going on here?
There has been a movement in recent years by sports teams to return downtown. And a lot of those facilities, those arenas, have been surrounded by other projects, by convention centers, by restaurants, by apartments, to create a district, if you will, with entertainment options, things for people to do before the game, after the game, for people attending events at convention centers to do, creating a mix of activity.
So the exact opposite of what San Antonio has now,
yes,
where we put the Spurs Arena in a part of the city where we had a lot of promises of development, but they never materialized. And we have a lot of people driving to the games and then driving away from the games and not really spending a lot of money, you know, at that facility.
Yes, that's been one of the main criticisms of the Frostbank Center is it's surrounded by parking lots. People drive in for a game, they park, they go to the game, and then they leave. They don't spend time at restaurants or bars in the area, typically before or after games.
And so the idea that Project Marvel is nothing has been locked in. Right now we're still kind of, this is what they're thinking about doing. And that price tag, $3 to $4 billion, and they say it would be paid by an entertainment district. Is that different than what they have now at Hemisphere, where they have some sort of district there now? Is that it?
It's unclear at this point how it would be paid for and also how much it would cost, but there is a relatively new financing mechanism that the city has said it plans to use to renovate the Alamo Dome and expand the convention center. And that's what's called a project financing zone. And with that mechanism, basically the city gets the state's growth in hotel taxes. And so there are a lot of hotels downtown. The zone is within 3 miles of the convention center, and there are a lot of hotels being built downtown. And so that's a significant source of money.
And then there's also a plan for a a new luxury hotel that would be built at the what is now Hemisphere Park, right?
Yes. Zachary is working on a hotel called the Monarch at Hemisphere right now, and there are a couple of other hotels nearby that
a
are
new
also...
one's proposed. And there's another one that they're thinking of. Oh, we'd have another hotel as part of Project Marvel, an additional one.
Potentially.
So, but right now it's a lot of like a lot of happy vapor talk about like what this could be, what it could look like. Let's go to a caller. Let's go to Edward. And Edward, you're on the air.
Hey guys, thanks for the show. David or one of the guests, if you could reiterate, I kind of caught it about maybe 20 minutes ago. If you could reiterate what the tentative plan right now is to rehouse the present artifacts and exhibits at the Institute of Texas Cultures, what I vaguely remember hearing, I was a bit distracted, was it would be part of or paired with the now expanding and sounding awesome album.
Right. Edward, let me answer that for you. So the announced plan, this is announced, so this is real, this is happening, that they are going to build a facility. It's at the first floor, the bottom floor of the Frost Tower, which is right off Houston Street near the San Pedro Creek, which basically right now is more or less not occupied, not being used. It's only about maybe like 15-20% of the footprint of the Institute of Texan Culture building that they had. And they have some really nice mock-ups of people can go in and experience it. And it looks really cool for that part of downtown where there's not a lot going on. And that's going to be there for several years. There is negotiations that are underway with the area behind the Alamo, which is owned by the Crockett Hotel. There's a parking lot there and some other space where there's discussion about the UTSA will be building a new facility that would house the collection there and would be, it's not part of the Alamo vision, but it would certainly be supplement what we're looking at for the Alamo overall. And Madison, does that sound about right to you?
Yes, that's right. UTSA, my understanding is looking at two different potential sites for that, either near the Alamo, near the Crockett Hotel, or at the Southwest campus.
Right, and that kind of solves a problem that people have had for the ITC, which was like it's so removed from the bulk of downtown, the energy of downtown, that it was difficult for people to kind of discover and get to. And a lot of people, their experience like, wow, well, this is really great, but it's so far away from downtown. But now we have those scooters. So, you know, you can take those and ride those scooters. Let's go to Randall on the phones. And Randall, you're on the air.
It is time for the tail to stop trying to wag the dog as far as the Spurs are concerned. Dave, you were probably here 35, 40 years ago when they jacked the roof up on the old Convention Center Arena. Remember that?
Yeah, I sure did.
And they added a new deck. Now, that's what you call getting your money's worth. When the Spurs start actually selling out their current location, that's when they need new digs, not before. And as far as people hanging out around the current Frost Bank Center and going to bars and restaurants, millennials and Gen Z, they don't want any of that. They want to go drive through Chick-fil-A on their way home to eat overpriced chicken in front of Netflix. So the bars and all that, that's not going to matter.
All right. Well, Randall, that's nice of you to go say all that. But I remember, as you know, when I was a youngster, bussing tables on the Riverwalk, and how the Riverwalk was closed during the winter, but then it would start opening only during nights that the Spurs played. And then it eventually became open year round of the Riverwalk restaurants because the Spurs brought people downtown and they wanted to spend money downtown, and it created a downtown entertainment vibe and created the Riverwalk that we have today. So I don't know if that can be duplicated. It did happen one time, and so there is that idea. So Madison, is there the idea that this is going to continue to inject consumerism in downtown San Antonio, become a destination?
Yes, I think downtown has really struggled in the wake of the pandemic. Tourists have come back, but the convention business is still lagging. A lot of the office buildings are emptier than they were before, and there's not a lot of residential development, although that is changing with a couple of different projects. And so proponents of this district and of the Spurs Arena see this as a potential way to revitalize the city's downtown that is sort of sleepy right now.
Well, if the conventions business is not doing great, why put more money into the ever-expanding convention center? It just seems like they keep building more and more onto it. So, you know, we can talk about that more when we come back. I want to hear about the land bridge, about all these, you know, the baseball field, if that's still part of this plan as well. There's a lot of talk, a lot of interesting ideas. But what there isn't is an opportunity for the public to weigh in on this. Will there be a need for tax dollars or bonds? What is happening on that? And would you vote for something like that? Give us a call. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Source continues right after this. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. With me in the studio is Madison Isler. She covers real estate and economic development and other business topics for the San Antonio Express News. Her byline has been on multiple stories covering proposals for the redevelopment of downtown, particularly around the southeast corner where Cesar Chavez is and where the Alamo Dome is, and there's all sorts of big eyes in City Hall about what we could do with that area if we could just get the Institute of Texan Cultures to be bulldozed and moved away, and then we would take the land somehow. And that seems to be in the works. The public has not been officially informed about all of this. We're just trying to raise the profile about what the chitter chat, what the scuttlebutt is, and inform you, because right now it's not coming out of official city documents. If you've got a question, give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK, and let's go to Bill on the phones. And Bill, you're on the air.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. No, I don't support this at this point in time. I think it needs to be more of an organic, more holistic type of approach to make this property. Currently, you got about 20% vacancy rate downtown offices. The city's also contributed so much in bond and taxpayer money for these quasi-public investments, such as AT&T, Alamo Dome, such like that. And we've really yet to see a good economic return on the investments. The other thing that you're looking at is when you take down that Institute of Texas Cultures building, you are removing an iconic structure that has been part of the history of San Antonio since about the mid-60s, okay? It should be there to stay. The issue is how you integrate that design, that building, into the overall plan. Other thing, though, I don't really support, particularly in the era of multi-billion dollar value sports venues or sports teams, I don't understand why the public has to pony up more money for less return. And in addition to that, as an aside, with all the money the public has given to the Spurs, we have to pay cable TV to watch the playoffs games. At the very least, hey, give us some of those games for free, or all those games for free, because you know what? We supported them with a big chunk of our money. Okay? So that's all I got to say.
All right, Bill, thank you so much. Appreciate those comments. Madison Isler, you wrote the article, "The San Antonio Spurs Want to Build a New $1.2 billion Downtown Arena. Could Taxpayers Be on the Hook?" Too long, didn't read. What you got?
So that is the cost that sources have told us it's expected to come out to. And they've said that the Spurs at this point have proposed covering about 1/5 of the cost, which would leave taxpayers potentially on the hook for a lot. government financing sources could be bonds. There could be some kind of a tax similar to the one that paid for the Frost Bank Center. The project financing zone could be used for part of this. We're told that the Spurs did approach one of the state lawmakers that co-sponsored the legislation that created that about whether it could be used for an arena. And he said, yes, but it's up to the city. So at this point, I think that's one of the biggest questions is what will taxpayers be asked to?
But also the Spurs have a lease with the county for the Frost arena. They would have to buy out that lease somehow. That would cost taxpayers, I guess, right? There's a lot of cost, and it's not going to be cheap.
Yes, the Spurs lease at the Frost Bank Center runs through 2032, and it's unclear what would happen with that facility if the Spurs were to move.
Because the county has done improvements to that facility with the expectations that the Spurs would be there at least until that long, then at least that time. So, you know, who loses out when the Spurs move downtown? Let's go to another caller. Let's go to Jennifer. And Jennifer, you're on the air.
Hi. I don't want to pay for a new arena. And we just finished with a new convention center, so they can't use that excuse like they did when they built the Alamo Dome. So no new taxes, please.
Jennifer, thank you for that. A reimagined Alamo Dome, we've seen that phrase here. What's the reimagined part? How would they reimagine it?
It's unclear at this point what exactly that would involve. The Alamo Dome was built for an NFL team that never came here, that never materialized. And part of the argument for moving the Spurs to what's now the Frost Bank Center was that it was just too big. And so at this point, it's an open question what exactly the reimagining would involve.
We know that UTSA uses the Alamo Dome for five home games a year. Is that about right? Five or six? I don't know. I don't watch football. I don't know anything about that. So, but they do use it, and so it would fit in with a plan to have an entertainment district at least 5 days out of the year for that. And then the rest of the time, it's not really a good venue for concerts or much anything else, is it?
The UTSA football program, that was mentioned in one of the emails we got, that would be part of the continued use. But other events, concerts, trade shows, other things like that, it remains to be seen how exactly the city would plan to reconfigure it or upgrade it to make it more appealing for major events.
Are we seeing a fish or a cut bait kind of deadline coming up where the city has to say, I mean, UTSA is moving forward with they've shut down the Institute of Texan Cultures. They've said that next summer the bulldozers are going to start hitting the building and knocking that down. When will the city have to say, okay, it's time for us to start becoming more upfront with the public about what we're doing here?
I'm wondering the same thing, too. I mean, everything that we've reported on so far, we know from public records that we've gotten through records requests. We know that a lot of non-disclosure agreements have been signed about Project Marvel, which was in our reporting. And the city and Spurs Sports and Entertainment haven't publicly talked about these projects yet and what exactly they'd entail.
And so there's a lot of talk about using, you know, hotel motel revenues to pay for this in the past. But since COVID, those revenues aren't as luxurious as they used to be. Is that no longer something that can be counted on to pay for such an ambitious project?
I think the project financing zone being passed that we talked about earlier, which would take the state portion of the hotel tax and provide it to the city for the dome upgrades and the convention center expansion, I think that's an indication that there still are a lot of folks visiting San Antonio, especially downtown San Antonio. Things aren't back to where they were before the pandemic. There are also a lot more hotels in the works downtown, which I think is a sign that developers are still bullish on the market here.
Okay, another caller, Onika. Onika, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to put my little input on this. We're expecting, or it could be expected, for San Antonians to have to foot the bill for this convention center. And I wonder how that's going to be possible or how it seems fair for half of the people that can't even afford to attend these Spurs games. Like, we can't enjoy it, but we would be partially responsible for the upgrades.
Well, our jobs would be to go honking whenever they win a championship. That's the role we get to play. Other than that, Madison is. There seems to be a lack of equity in this whole issue here. Spurs tickets, they're not as available as people, affordable as they used to be. It's a business. And so are the Spurs, are they talking about either this falls into place or they're going to be looking for other markets? When, of course, we've heard from the business, from the owners, that they're in San Antonio to stay. But, what does all that look like?
I think those are good questions for the city, is why should, if taxpayers are going to be asked to pay for part of this, what would be the justification? With the expansion of the convention center specifically, the city and tourism officials here have said that San Antonio, in order to be competitive with other cities when it comes to major events, needs more space, that the city is losing out to other competitors, which was a similar argument made to last time the convention center was expanded.
So would there be an opportunity that would be lost if the city didn't do this? We're seeing lots of interesting things happening downtown. Of course, the Alamo is being, the state is pouring millions and millions of dollars into the Alamo complex. That's going to be a huge draw. Do they think by doing this project that they will be can be able to build on and multiply the benefits of everything else that's going on downtown, that this is an opportunity for them?
There certainly is a lot of other things going on downtown. The Alamo Visitor Center and Museum that you just mentioned, the Missions are also potentially coming downtown. The owners of the Missions are looking at a collection of properties near San Pedro Creek Culture Park for new ballpark. And so that would add to a bunch of things happening downtown.
But the thing is, you can't, the coming in, ingress and egress, driving in and out of downtown, if you have two things happening simultaneously downtown right now, it's basically, you can't get around. You can't get in or get out. If you have a big concert happening at the Alamo Dome, and you've got a big convention happening, San Japan or something happening at the convention center, it's a big traffic jam. Are they going to also talk about doing some highway construction to go along with this?
I think the parking and the traffic flow is another major question right now. And the construction downtown is adding to the problems with getting around, navigating streets, businesses struggling to get customers in the door.
I mean, you kind of wonder about what's happening with the downtown road construction. It's as if the people in the city saw what they did to St. Mary's and said, let's do that to downtown. Let's just mess up the streets so bad that businesses have a hard time doing things. So Madison Isler, thank you so much for coming on board and helping us get an idea of what Project Marvel is and what the city is looking at doing and whether or not this becomes a reality. There's a lot of business deals in play, and it's certainly the people should be informed, I guess. Is that right?
Absolutely.
All right. Madison Isler covers real estate, retail, economic development, and other business topics for the San Antonio Express News. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted and produced by David Martin Davies. Kayla Padilla is our booking and engagement producer. Engineering support from Ruben Garcia, Jesse Reeves, and Steve Short. Dan Katz is TPR's Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.